Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. One of the worst nuclear disasters in the world happened nearly 40 years ago in what is now northern Ukraine when the number 4 reactor of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant exploded. The once thriving city was abandoned and facilities were created to contain the radiation while cleanup continues. In January of 2020, Grass Valley-based photographer Therese Iknoyan had an opportunity to travel to the Chernobyl exclusion zone to capture images of a region abandoned after a nuclear accident. Little did she know that trip would be her only opportunity to visit as a pandemic and then a war occupied the region. Her work from that trip will be on display this month at the Viewpoint Gallery in Sacramento. The show opens tomorrow, Wednesday, May 7th, with an artist reception on May 10th this weekend, as well as on May 18th. Therese, welcome to Insight.
Thanks, Vicky. It's great to be here.
So when did you first decide that you wanted to visit Chernobyl?
Well, it was kind of an impromptu decision, I must say. I got notice of this trip probably 3 or 4 weeks before it actually was to happen. And I just sprung at the chance. Luckily, working for myself, I had the ability to be able to say, yeah, that sounds great. I'm out of here. I'm going.
Yeah. What is it about your background as an artist and a photographer that attracted you to wanting to explore this and tell the story of Chernobyl today through photographs?
When I returned to photography, before I was in journalism as a writer primarily, I found myself really attracted to abandoned places, places that in a way had a story to tell from their history with the people that had been there and the activity that had been there. And so Chernobyl had that attraction as a very abandoned and devastated place.
Mm. So you made the trip and there's still radiation there and it poses a risk. So how did you navigate that risk and that danger to make sure that you were safe?
That's an interesting question. Everybody always asks, oh my gosh, weren't you scared? And I have very curly hair, so I always tell people that my hair was straight before I went. There is lingering radiation, absolutely, in the dirt in particular and some of the forests, but the guides, and you are required to have guides when you could go there, keep you out of certain places where it might be higher. It's not so high after several decades that it would cause risk of cancers or diseases, unless, of course, you decided to kind of roll around in the dirt and the forests like the invading Russian soldiers actually did. So you do have to wear when you're there what we would commonly call a Geiger counter. It's a dosimeter. And so every visitor has one of these around their neck that you have to wear unless you're sleeping. And that measures how much radiation you've gotten during your stay. And of course, the hope is that after you leave, you don't get a call saying, hello, we want you to come back. That would then measure if you happen to stumble into a place that was dangerous. So the only place you had to wear protective gear was when you toured the actual nuclear facility. And then you had head-to-toe protective gear on you.
Do people live there today regularly?
Well, there's two versions of there's the large Chernobyl exclusion zone, but there's an inner zone and an outer zone. And the inner zone, people don't really live. But in the outer zone, there actually are a number of inhabitants. In fact, there are still a lot of workers at the plant still doing the decommissioning of the reactor. For a short time at the beginning of the war, after the war started, when the Russians tried to take over the plant, there was a lot of concern in the atomic community, of course, that that could cause another nuclear accident. So the workers there actually come and live there for a couple of weeks in the outer area of the zone, in the same hotel in most cases where we actually were housed. And there are, in addition to some of the workers staying there, interestingly, in that there is a town of Chernobyl, not just the little town of Pripyat, which was the one that was evacuated, but the town of Chernobyl still does have some residents, people who either refused to leave or decided to come back. And there's lots of little tiny villages way out. We visited one that was probably an hour or two away from the state-of-the-art town, Pripyat, that housed the employees. And that's where a lot of, if people have heard the term babushkas, the grandmas and the older folks who at that time weren't so much older, came back or refuse to leave in these little tiny villages. And they fend for themselves. There's no services or anything. And we did get a chance on this little tour to visit and have lunch with one of the babushkas.
Oh, what did they tell you about, I guess, how they reflect on that time and a time that they're still living with the impact of today?
Well, Sophia, the woman that we visited, was incredibly friendly and incredibly happy and very proud of the place where she lived. And even though she has children who live outside of there, I think one of them might have been in Kyiv even too, she was never about to leave. And she's perfectly happy there. Apparently there are supply trucks that come through like once a week so they can get supplies that they don't grow. They actually grow a lot of their own goods. The joke is that the mushrooms absorb a lot of radioactivity. And of course, she served us mushrooms, so everybody had to eat the radioactive mushrooms. It's a joke. They aren't really radioactive or radioactive enough to cause danger to you or your health, but they're very happy to be there still. That is their home, and they say they refuse to leave.
I want to actually explore the photos that you've taken. I know this is radio, but these images are just so striking. The first one that really stood out is about a Ferris wheel, and you took this in the evening. How did you approach grabbing this image, especially choosing the time of day to capture it?
Our small group actually had one evening, about 2 hours, chance to photograph night. Now, night photography is truly my passion. If you were to go to my website, and I know there is a link on the page there afterwards on my photo site, you will see a lot of night photos of abandoned places and ghost towns. So I had been relatively new at that, and it was a matter of setting up someone. If you look at the beams that are shining from the right when you look at the picture onto the Ferris wheel, that comes from a flashlight. So I stationed somebody over on the far right with the flashlight. So while my long exposure was open, he was moving the flashlight around the Ferris wheel to help illuminate it at night. So night really is my passion. And then, of course, that Ferris wheel is very iconic for the town of Pripyat and the exclusion zone.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, on the one hand, a relic of the past, but when you shine the light on it at night, there's this liveliness and vibrancy to it, because the pods of the Ferris wheel are bright yellow, and that juxtaposition has a message wrapped within that.
Yeah, it's still, it's kind of a creaky and spooky place. During the day, everything looks very rusty, and there's bars falling off of some of the other rides. In my exhibit, there's a picture of these old rusty bumper cars that never went around anywhere. And you can almost feel, I know this is going to sound strange, I suppose, but you can almost feel the ghosts of the past, especially when those little Ferris wheel pods would swing a little bit in the wind and you would hear this like creaking sound, almost as if it was going to move or there were kids playing in it or something. It was eerie.
You even capture that in your photography as well. There was one photo, I'm just pulling it up now. I think it might be you walking up the stairs in the destruction of Chernobyl, but you look like a ghost, or that person looks like a ghost.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, it's actually a man who I had who was wandering up the stairs. I have another one on my website of me walking up the stairs or posing. And indeed, that was part of my goal, to create the idea of spirits and people's souls perhaps still there in the town that was so suddenly evacuated. The people weren't allowed to take anything with them, including their pets or their dogs. And so this was recreating in a long exposure the sort of the spirit of somebody walking up the stairs.
That was going to be the next photo I was going to bring up. There's a photo of a dog. There are still dogs there today. And the reality is, as you laid out, a lot of people left their pets at home because they didn't think that they would be evacuating permanently. That's a tough reality seeing. How was it interacting with these pets in that way?
It was so heartbreaking. These dogs were so eager for love, and they were so used to tour groups and the workers and people there. As soon as there was a human in their presence, they would come running over to you and want to be petted. Now, we were told not to touch them because their fur could have some lingering radiation. Our Ukrainian guide actually was picking them up and hugging them and kissing them. Nevertheless, that is something I did not do. And they beg for love and they follow you around. And this one particular picture that's in my exhibit, and I have, again, several others of these cute dogs on the website, they are descendants of the dogs that were left behind. You could not take any pets with you. People were told to take minimal things and just leave with just a few things and they'd be back in a couple of days. Mm. That, of course, never happened.
Right.
They never could come back. Apparently, they did come back to get a few things, but dogs were not allowed. They did try to actually kill all the dogs afterwards for fear that they would spread radiation, but they couldn't get them all. Today, there is a group called the Clean Futures Fund that I also mention in my exhibit information on the Viewpoint Photo Art Center.org website. And any proceeds from photos I sell, any of them, I'm going to be giving some percent, 20% of my proceeds to the Clean Futures Fund. They go over there and they just returned from a trip to help care for the animals and the people in the Chernobyl zone, including sterilizing them to help keep them from reproducing. Right now, there's probably just a couple hundred. There used to be hundreds more of the pets there. And it's a sad story. They're so adorable.
Yeah, it's a sad story all around. And I think it's important to capture these images and bring them thousands of miles away to Sacramento for people to take in. And this is just really a little taste, because not only is your gallery opening up tomorrow, but there's going to be artist receptions this weekend as well as next weekend, so people can talk to you and have you just expand upon your journey and what you're sharing with others. Therese, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for allowing me to share this experience. It's wonderful.
It's
thank you.
Really powerful work. Therese Iknoyan is a photographer and journalist based in Grass Valley. You can see her work from the Chernobyl Exclusion Zone at the Viewpoint Gallery in Sacramento beginning tomorrow, Wednesday, May 7th. There are artist receptions if you want to meet Therese this Saturday, May 10th, and Sunday, May 18th. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests and these events at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. We'll